Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
In 2007, I preached a sermon, and I actually took a screenshot on my iPhone. Don't you love that? You could... And so I want to put that screenshot. This is a note from the sermon in 2007. Obviously, I Googled the American debt on November the 18th, 2007 at 4:19 in the afternoon. You know what I was doing that day. And don't you just love the Googles? And the national debt was $9.1 million, okay? Then if you went down, this is more of my sermon note. It says as early as 1780, President John Adams negotiated a $1.4 million loan from France, and we've been borrowing as a nation ever since. I went into that whole deal. But the point was it was $9.1 trillion, not million, not billion, trillion. Then I was in New York on Monday, and I just happened to be walking down the road, and I saw the, you know, the national debt sign, and here's what it did. Since 2007, this was taken this Monday. $19 trillion. Can you imagine that? Give it up for the government doing a great job blowing money like crazy. Come on, just give it up for printing it, borrowing it. Nobody has done it better than they have done it. Wow! $19 trillion? Okay, so we saw that the first loan that was done in America was done for $1.4 million. And between that point and 2007, it had went to $9 trillion. Then between 2007 and now, this election year of 2016, it has skyrocketed out of control, went from $9 to $19 trillion. How did that happen? A little phenomenon called compounded interest. It's like a wildfire. It spreads like crazy. Now, the bad news is for people that are watching who are not born-again Christ followers, you're just American, and I'm glad to live in America. It's still the greatest country in the whole wide world, and we honor that. But the fact is, Americans in very much trouble, okay? Because their system that they chose to live by is actually imploding. I knew we were in trouble a few years ago when I got a call from a few big officials in Washington, and they started asking me advice as a homeschooler. I knew we were screwed. Come on, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, let me try to figure this out. Okay, we got one, two, three, four. And we were in trouble as a nation. But we're not in trouble. We are God's people, and our finest days are right out ahead of us. God is going to bless us in troubled times. Okay, so let's just talk about a little bit of hardcore stuff that's really going to help you get a grip on this debt thing. Proverbs 22, verse 27, it says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender." The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. How many of y'all kind of got like a... You kind of sniff that there's some rich people somewhere and they kind of control a lot of the government as well as loans. And you're not sure how it all works, but you're pretty sure something's going on and somebody's making a bunch of money and it's not you. Raise your hand if that's you, okay? It's pretty much all of us. You're smart. Some people are like, no, I don't think I smell anything. Oh, smell the coffee. By the way, let's thank God for coffee right now. Lord, we thank you for coffee. It is not a drug. It is a vitamin. And it's in the Bible. There's a whole book about it. It says, he brews, we brew. All the women should stand on that. It doesn't say she brews, it says he brews. So you're like, go get me my coffee, boy. So we smell something's going on, and you're absolutely correct. Now, the Bible, though, has everything to say about how to live peaceful and how to live debt-free. And this is a perfect example, Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower, the person that borrows the money, is the slave to that lender, the person's lending it. Now, right now, this was a very easy work week for me because I'm preaching you the exact same sermon that I preached in 2007. So it's like, you know, study once, preach it twice. So like, this is a great week for me. You're hearing rehash from 2007. Give it up for old preaching. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's old. I want you to take that same screenshot of what the interest rates were paying in 2007. Okay, so 2007, here was the point of this sermon right there. There's the screenshot. And I was making this point. I said, look here, man, the interest eats up the fruit of your labor, and the bank is a lot of your problem. And if you guys put money in the bank and you want them to pay you money, look what they're giving you. They're giving you like 0.9%. When you want a car loan, those people take 7.5%. The credit cards, they're ripping you off at 14%. I mean, look, this system is rigged. That's not what I was saying today, but that's what I was saying in 2007, okay? So let's take it down because it's very depressing. So in other words, the system is designed where if you have money and you want to loan it to the bank, they give you no money. If you want to borrow money, which is probably where most of us are at, then the bank totally sticks it to us. And I think I remember making statements like, you just look at your house and look at your linoleum and look at their marble floors. Look at their incredible structures and look at your double-wide trailer. It is rigged. This is kind of stuff I was saying. I was very animated that weekend because I knew that there was a big storm coming. And I'm telling you today, if you're watching, there's another storm coming. The Bible says that, believe ye the prophets and so shall you prosper. God starts kind of teaching people or telling people about things that are going to come to pass in the last days. And so he started telling me this in like 2005, 6, and 7 when I preached this. Well, none of us had heard of a thing called the housing bubble. How many of y'all had not heard of that until they took your house? And you're like, oh, okay. So what a lot of they were doing, these were predator loans that were happening, and they were actually, everybody became a loan officer, and it was big business, and they would tell you to, you know, mortgage your house is worth $200,000, when really your house was worth like $125,000, and you borrowed to the hilt on it, and you took a trip, and a lot of you, how many of y'all were not here in 2007? You weren't here at the church in 2007. Raise your hand, I want to see who you were. Okay, so some of you guys were the people that borrowed the money. The reason why you weren't here is like you were in Cancun, and you were having fun. Now, part of the reason why you weren't here is because we were not the church we are today. How we became the church we are today is through the predator system. I knew that this was going to happen. I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but I started talking to our church board about that we needed to say no to now, and I want you to write that down. We had to say no to now to say yes to later. Because we had this little church in Fenton, and it was a nice church. My daddy started the church. He actually had dreams of building God a house. And so his first house, he paid it off rapidly. Like he realized that he could beat the bankers at their own game. And so he began to pay extra principal payments down on the house, which meant that he had a yard sale at the house and sold everything. While my mom was at the store, she came home and he had sold everything out of the house, but he had paid the house down. Okay. Little marital problems, but the debt free was worth it, right? And then later he bought our second house over in South County, and the house was like, back in the day, it was only like $33,000, but he wanted to pay it down. So he sold his motorcycle on a thing called Trading Times. It was before Craigslist, and he did some radical things, and he paid that house down in 22 months because there was nothing. He was saying no to now so he could say yes to later. Eventually, he takes the title deed to that house, and this is where it gives you power. Remember, it says the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. So my dad went to Lime Bank, which is now Midwest Bank Center here in town. Very nice people. However, they did not believe in me like they believed in my dad. They were afraid of the risk that I took, but now they really wish they would have been with me. But too bad. So now my allegiance is to Montgomery Bank, and you guys really screwed up. So anyway. Just wanted to get that out there real quick. Nice guys, though. Frank Ziegler is exempt from that, the president of the bank. I do like Frank. I wish my name was Frank. It would be Frank Crank. Wouldn't that be cool? It's like, Frank Crank! Because I am kind of Frank. I mean, we just saw that happen, that's for sure. So my dad takes the title deed to the house, and he says, hey, will you guys give me the loan? I want to build God a house. Well, you need a board. No, you don't need a board. You need seven men to sign. No, you don't if you got the money. We've never done this before. He said, I really want to start a church where I can say what I want to say. And if I have seven men telling me what I got to say, then I can't say what God has to say. So that's why I paid my house down. So they gave him the loan, and he built a church. We launched from there with the same principles, the practical application that I'm teaching you right now, and that's why our church has this church, which is $37 million worth of campus, and I just preached at our city, which is $21 million worth of campus, and we owe very, very little money because we want to get those bankers out. They're very kind to us, but we also, at the end of the day, the relationship is one-sided. They don't tithe back to the church, and if you did tithe back to the church, we would consider lengthening the life of our loan, but we don't, so we want to get rid of you right away. Come on, let's get rid of the bank, okay? Because we can build playgrounds in Haiti, come on. We can buy four moms, single moms' cars from Bill Dean. Dean Team, they gave us a great deal. Buy your cars at deanteam.com. I'm really doing some product placement today, aren't I? This is brought to you by Apple. Forget it. They didn't give me a good deal. I had to pay for this. So the rich will owe the poor. So my dad set me up with what I would call, in Proverbs, again, Proverbs says, I want you to leave an inheritance to your children's children. So inheritance, if you just thought money, that's good, but it shouldn't be just money. My dad left me some money, but what he actually left me was the root, and the root could continue to produce the fruit. So my dad taught me about rapid debt reduction. He taught me to say no to now so we could say yes to later. So what we did as a church after my dad died is we just started putting 10% in the bank every week. 10% in the bank every week. Wound up one day, we woke up, and the church had $1 million in the bank. And when the housing bubble burst, Commerce Bank said, we have this building and we need to sell it, and nobody's in a position to buy it, and nobody's giving out loans. The only person in town that can buy it is you, Faith Church, because you have $1 million in the bank. And I went, I think this is good. I don't know, but I like it. So we're the only person at the auction kind of thing? Yeah? I like it. They said, we need $1 million. So they said, it's a $21 million building. We'll sell it to you for $14 million. I'm like, nah. We want to give you $6.3 million. We'll never sell it for $6.3 million. The stock market kept going down. The housing bubble is imploded. People are losing their job. And then they called us and they said, hey, we just got to do it. And we did it. And today, thousands of people have received Jesus at that church. Come on. Because we said no to now. Somebody ought to help me. No to now. So we can say yes to later. So Proverbs 22:7 again, it says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. So this works for you at home. This works for you at Faith Church. This works for you watching on Facebook right now. There's a couple of practical things that I want you to do, okay? Number one, I want you to start reading Proverbs every day. Even if you're not a Christ follower, you're just watching it. You're like, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the church. Okay, just all that means is you're going to hell. But I don't want you to live in hell. Remember Frank Crank, it's coming out again. I don't want you to live in hell. So let's at least use the practical application, like interest eats up the fruit of your labor. It talks about co-signing for other people. It says, do not co-sign for other people because they will come, the bank will, and they will take your bed. And I like my bed. I got like the Kraft adjustable bed. And so I don't want that bed to go anywhere. How about you? I want to keep my bed. All this stuff and much more is found in Proverbs. So I'm just telling you, if you want to be financially secure, don't just think that church is irrelevant. They're not teaching anything practical at church. This is practical stuff on a Sunday that you can radically revolutionize your life on Monday, okay? So read Proverbs. Number two, I want you to get familiar with a guy named Dave Ramsey, okay? Dave Ramsey, back in the day, my dad wrote a book in 1985 called Godly Finances and the Bible Way to Pay Off Your Home. It was a little book, but he just shared a story. He told the story that I told you today, and he talked about how to pay off your credit cards. He talked about how to list out your debts. He talked about how do you pay off the debts. My dad thought, and now Dave Ramsey and a lot of people have read my dad's material over the years. And now I get invited to be with Dave and actually getting ready to be with him in the fall. Because my dad said, what you need to do, and Dave preaches this, teaches this. You've probably seen him on Fox, CNN, all over. He says, pay the smallest card off first. So you can celebrate and be like, man, we paid off the credit card. Because you do want to feel like a sense of accomplishment, because it can seem boring while you're paying off debt, because debt, the acronym, is doing everything but thinking, okay? So you want things now. You like nice things. I'm looking at you. You guys look great. You have bought some stuff. Come on now. You look pretty. You got on Gucci. You got on Prada. Some of this stuff's fake, but it still looks good. It's like, I got a hoochie belt, right? Okay, so you got... There's nothing wrong with liking nice things. And if you live here in St. Louis, Carroll House Furniture has taught us that. Brooke is a friend. You like nice things. So if I go to his house or something for Christmas parties, because they, you know, there's 600% markup on this furniture. So they have really nice. He lives in Ladue. And so it's very nice. And so they're like, look at this, because you collect fine furniture. This goes back to Louis XIV. I'm like, that's nothing. Mine goes back to Carroll House on the 18th if I don't pay the bill. Okay? So we like nice things, right? Okay, so there's nothing wrong with liking nice things, but you have to say no to now so you can say yes to later. And here's one of the reasons. God doesn't want the rich ruling over us. I'm not trying to scare you. I love America, but you can't pay off $19 trillion, especially if you continue to do what they're doing, and they're doing it. It's impossible. But I do think it's important who sits behind the desk every 4 years. But I think it's more important just to understand who sits on the throne, and that is your Father, and he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. God loves you. But there's a scripture that says that the children of darkness are smarter than the children of the light. In other words, Christians oftentimes come with the philosophy that God's going to save me and protect me, but they don't do anything to help God do that. It'd be like me jumping off a 20-story building today and say, hey, God really needs me. Boom. How many of y'all know I'm going to die? You'll be like, man, I'm glad we had that backup plan with Pastor Nicole because he was stupid. He jumped off a building. So you and I want to do what we can do and then ask God to help us with the supernatural. Okay, here's a good supernatural story. In 2 Kings chapter 6, it talks about one day there was a group of prophets that came to Elijah and they told him, as you can see, the place where we're at is too small. So it might be your house right now, your business, your car. Let's go down to the Jordan and there's plenty of logs there. And let's build a new place to meet. They said, all right, let's go ahead. He said, well, will you please come with us? He said, yes. So when they arrived at the Jordan, when they got there, they were cutting down trees. So notice they're working. Everybody shout, working.
Working.
You got to work. In fact, you'd be surprised. People are like, God bless me with money. Pastor, will you play that? God blesses me with money. I give them employment application and I go, fill this out. You'll be surprised how money comes from this prayer request right here. Got quiet in this Presbyterian church today right there. So when they began to, at the Jordan, they were cutting down trees, and then all of a sudden one was chopping with an axe, and the axe fell into the river, and he said, oh, Lord, he cried, it was borrowed. Everybody shout, it was borrowed.
Borrowed.
He's crying because he's in debt already. He doesn't even own it. Now he's completely upside down, and he cries that it's borrowed. Now check this out. So the man of God came, and he said, where did it fall? And Elijah cut a stick, he threw it in the water, and the axe head rose to the surface. Watch a reverse mortgage happen right there. It reverses at the top of the water. And then verse 7 says, he grabbed it. Elijah told him, reach out and grab it. Reach out and grab it. And I'm telling you right now, reach out and grab this idea in this concept of being debt-free with passion. Grab it and say, I'll never be broke another day of my life. God's blessing me coming in. He's blessing me coming out. I decree and declare that God's favor is on my life. Extraordinary opportunities happen to me. I'm always going to be at the right place at the right time. God loves me and I love me and I'm going to use my resources to impact people, to buy television time, to rescue girls out of sex trafficking, to build playgrounds in Haiti, to help the homeless. That's what money's for. It's called currency because it has a current. It's supposed to flow. Okay? So grab it. Everybody shout, grab it.
Grab.
Now let me tell you something. When you grab it, God puts his super on your natural. You have to have a goal. Everybody needs a goal. You can't stroll to your goal. You have to have a fixed purpose. Say, here is my goal. And then one time I broke the word goal down and said, go all. My dad was like, go all. Sell everything in the house. Go all. Sell my motorcycle. Go all. You can't be just kind of haphazard about getting out of debt. So here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to read a book. What was the name of that book again I want you to read every day?
Proverbs.
Everybody shout it. What was that book again?
Proverbs.
Then number two, I want you to watch Dave Ramsey. Okay? Watch Dave. Because I'm not going to talk about debt all the time because I don't. I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got a lot of stuff to preach on. There's a lot of issues besides debt. But debt is a big issue. In fact, many times I have found that marital problems are due from financial problems. You're on the edge. You're upset. Kids come in and they ask for a $200 pair of tennis shoes and you freak out. What? Do you think money grows on trees? How many of y'all know you're distressed? I didn't even have shoes growing up. I just had little cardboard boxes and I taped them to my feet and I walked uphill. You know that story that you tell them. And the kids are like, whoa. And by the way, I didn't even have a cell phone back then. It's because they didn't have them. We didn't know how to work computers. We did not have computers. We didn't even have helmets to wear bikes. We didn't have protective surfaces when we would do the swing set. We were drinking water out of a hose. Come on, y'all. That's why we're jacked up. That's why we got problems. Okay? So don't blame the kids. Blame that we're stressed out financially. But we should leave an inheritance to our children's children, not just M-O-N-E-Y. That's important. But we should teach them the root on how to say no to now, do rapid debt reduction, so you can be out of debt.
Right.
So my dad would write little songs. He would write songs and say, we're out of debt and our needs are met. And we got plenty more to put up in store. Just dumb little song. Hey, Dad, I want to buy this. Oh, no, I don't think we're going to buy that because we're going to buy you a new go-kart someday. When? I don't know, but when we get out of debt, you're going to have a really little go-kart. I'm going to take you to Disney World. I'm like, when? I'm 40. I'm 40 years old, got on a little hat. Come on, I can see myself. I want it now. But eventually, through my dad's secure focus on interest except the fruit of your labor, by the time I was 8 years old, I was the little kid in the neighborhood. And we didn't live in the greatest neighborhood. But I can trust me, nobody in our neighborhood had a go-kart with a van body. I had a van body and a little moonroof on top, and I would be rolling down our street like, I'm bad. I got a little minivan. I got pride on me. But my dad was proud, not in pride, but he was proud that we stuck with it. And he actually told me, he said, do you know how you got the little van? And I'm like, you, Dad. He said, no, the banker's kid would have had this van, but we beat the banker's kid, and so now the bank's not our friend. So I'm like, okay, the bank's not our friend. We don't like the bank. And then I would ride my go-kart around, and you know, of course, the engine was in there with you, so you're in this box, and you're kind of getting sleepy from the carbon monoxide that was happening. I'm thinking about, you know, how in the... We don't like the bank. We don't like the bank. But guess what? Here I am now in my 40s, and we have successfully got ourselves out of debt personally. I live great. I'm getting ready to go on a really cool trip with my family, and I'm actually using points because I get the points from the credit card company, and I pay them suckers off, and they never, ever, ever get any of my interest money, and I steal their points like crazy. It's a cool plan. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And then sometimes, like, they'll hose me, and they'll be like, we didn't get your payment, and so you owe us $47. And I'm like, oh, no, you look back at my history. I have never let you people. Would I ever be late? No, I guess not. Do you want me to transfer my stuff somewhere else? No. Okay, then you reverse that right now in Jesus' name. Because we don't like the bank. We don't like the bank. We don't like the bank. They should write a song, Crank Don't Like the Bank. Crank Don't Like the Bank. Crank Don't Like the Bank. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I love all bankers. I tell you, they're all just nice people. And they need to quit ripping off the little people that just... Psalm 34. I have 7 minutes and 42 seconds left if you're taking medicine. Psalms 34, verse 6. Survey says, the poor man called. I actually like the King James. It says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. He cried. Now, let me tell you something right now. There's a cry if you're a mom. How many of y'all have kids in here? Raise your hands if you got kids. How many of you got little kids? Raise your hand. How many of you got teenage kids? Okay. Got to help these people right now. Moms can hear the cry of a child and know if it's a regular cry, just a gripey cry. But then there's a cry that happens that a mom can hear, and she can be carrying a load of fine dishes in China, and if she hears that blood-curdling cry, she will drop those dishes and realize there's a problem, and she will run to the aid of that child. Yeah, only moms understand what I'm saying right now, but there's a cry like, ah, I don't want that. I want water. And then there's, ah, God. You're like, oh, my gosh, he lost his arm. And so you run up there, and you get duct tape, and you put it back on, and you pray for a miracle. And you put him in the little go-kart, and you drive his little butt to the bank. There's a cry. God hears your cry. And so he heard your cry because you lost the house. He heard your cry because you don't think there's any way that you could ever get out of debt. He heard your cry that you're like, I'm going to have to work for the rest of my life. He heard your cry that someday you're going to have to live with your kids. God knows you don't want to do that. You do not. Come on, raise your hand. Do not move in with your kids. Go to assisted living, but do not. That'll be their chance to get you back. So God heard the cry of the poor man, and he answered him and delivered him out of his troubles. What was the poor man's troubles? We just said financial troubles. God is into rescuing you financially, okay? So here's what I want to tell you. Number one, make sure you're going to a church that teaches practical stuff that you can use. Don't go to churches like, we're going to talk about the second coming of Christ and mid-trib, millennial reign, you know, post-trib. We're going to talk about first and second Maccabee. We're going to talk about the coming apocalypse. People don't really care about that. People are just like, how in the world do I get my truck back from the bank? So go to a church that does that. Read a book every day. What was the name of that book again?
Proverbs.
Proverbs. And then watch a guy on YouTube. What was his name?
Abraham.
Okay. So here's a trick. This is what I want to show you a trick right now. I teach my kids this. Multitasking. So I listen all the time to podcasts on my iPhone, just load podcasts like crazy. So I don't even necessarily pay. I might be doing something else, but I'm feeding my brain. And then I really don't even know that that stuff got in there until later I'm speaking and something comes out. And I'm like, oh, I remember hearing that. Because most of my stuff is actually plagiarized from other individuals. If you got ass, plagiarize, right? Okay. But I'm always listening, putting information in. So here's what you could do. Today, for instance, you could just Google Dave Ramsey. You could pull up a window and just have Dave Ramsey talking about rapid debt reduction, how to list out your debts, how to get a budget, how to get a plan, how to have financial freedom. And you could have another window open, so you don't really even need to look at Dave. He's not that pretty. It's not like me. You want to keep me on full screen. No. Dave, leave him over there, okay? Then open up a window and start a vision plan. Be like, here's the house I want to live in. I don't just want to rent that house. I want to own that house. And so you print that out, and you just go ahead and get that printer that you borrowed money from the bank for, and you go ahead and print that out, and you put that in the refrigerator because you know you're going to go to the refrigerator later today. And every time you go to the refrigerator, look at later and say, someday, that's where I'm going to live. So I'm going to say no right now to a $6 cup of coffee, and I want to say yes to a homemade cup of coffee at $1, and I want to put that money in the bank and say no to now so I can say yes to later. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now, and you will arrive at your dreams. Does that make sense? Because Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We're poor. I want you to own your own house. I ask a question in all sessions this weekend. How many of you don't own your own home? And it was like 90% of the people didn't own their own home. Can we do that today? How many of you don't own your own home? I just kind of want to see, okay? Most of you. Here's what I want you to do. I have a dream for you to own your own home. It was an American dream that was stolen from you by a bunch of fat cats who stole your house. They outsmarted you. They talked you into borrowing money that you didn't have and spending money on stuff you really didn't need. And then they came in and they repossessed your house. They waited, and then they started buying them back, and then they started renting them to you. I know this firsthand. I sit in a lot of cool meetings. See, we were so successful as a church and organization that now I get to sit on some really cool boards, get invited to some really neat meetings with some pretty powerful people. And I thank God that my dad prepared me that there was a small group of people who were running this country, and those people did not have your best interests in mind. But there was a God in heaven who loved you and cared for you and set up a book of principles that could keep you debt-free, and you could have the American dream to own your own home. And by God, I want you to own your own home. And when I mean own your own home, I mean I want you to own your own home, not you in the bank. I want you to own it so you can talk sarcastically to the bankers like I do. Like, oh, aren't they going to give you another loan? They want to loan me way more money than I want to take from them. They know what our relationship exists of. There's a lot of banks who will give you a loan when your credit's perfect. Teach your kids to have perfect credit. Never be late on a bill. Pay that bill. Before you eat, pay your bill. Pay the bill, because my dad told me when I was young, he said, someday you're going to want something really bad. And when you want it, the only thing that's standing in your way is going to be your ability to actually borrow the money to get it. But if your credit's bad, you can't get it. He said, you can make money if you use money properly. So, you know, I just worked on my credit as a kid. I got a secured credit card, and you might be there right now. That's something I'd ask you to do, is just go get online, get a secured credit card. If you give them $300, 1, 2, 3, they will give you a $300 credit limit, and you can start working on your credit card. Before long, you'll have all kinds of people trying to give you credit. And over the next few years, you could get yourself in a position to where you would have a good credit rating. Then a bank will give you a loan, because trust me right now, hear me. I told everyone that was in the church, not most of you, but some of you were in the church in 2005, 6, and you heard this sermon in 2007. And I told you there was a financial storm that was coming to America, and we would be able to buy stuff at pennies on a dollar. Hence, we bought this building, $37 million, for $7.7 million. Hence, we bought that building up there, $21 million, for $6.5 million. We set ourselves up in a great cash position to where now we are quite incredibly powerful and free to do whatever we need to do, which is preach the gospel and love people without putting a strong emphasis on money. And I want you to do the same. I'm here to tell you that $9 trillion went to $19 trillion, and it won't be long until in 2027. I don't even want to discuss it with you, but it's absolutely horrible, the amount of debt that'll be at that point. At that point, they can't sustain it. They don't know. They can't give you back Social Security. But God never was His plan was never to have you on Social Security. He said that he would meet all of your needs and take care of you for the rest of your life. The government never was our God, never can be our God. They are a poor God, and we must understand that God is for us. And for people who today are on Facebook and might say, what is the difference between church and state? I hear that sometimes. You know, whatever happened, you know, you're talking about the government right now. Don't you understand the difference between separation of church and state? I do. We have incredible attorneys, and I talk to them. The difference between the wall that was put up was never to keep the church out of the government. It was to keep the government out of the church. That's why our forefathers came here for our religious freedom. So we won't tell you how to vote, but I will tell you, read your Bible, and he will tell you what to do, and he will help you. Does that make sense? So that's why if you're nervous about, oh my gosh, I hope they don't take their tax exemption status. Well, we're not really worried about that because trust me, we know what we're talking about when it comes to the law because I don't trust them. But I do trust God. And so we got to know. So I want you to be encouraged today. I want nobody to be depressed, but I do want you to have some homework. I want you to go home and I want you to read that book. And what was that book called again? And I want you to watch that guy who's not a preacher. What's his name again? And you can just have him on a back window playing, and that'll get in your heart. And then eventually, a year from now, you'll come up to me and go, Pastor Dave, guess what? I'm out of debt. I don't, it feels so good. And I don't have any financial problems. And I bought my kid a little go-kart, but it's ventilated. They won't have the problems that you have, okay? And I went to Disney World, and I'm a tither. First, I put God first, and I said, the first 10% goes to God. And then I set up a little account, and I started saying no to now so I could say yes to later. Because trust me, the next collapse that's coming, get ready for it. When it happens, that's when you're going to get your house back. You're going to get it back. They ripped it off. And then never, ever, as I close, never, ever take God out of the equation. Just like he floated that note, if you start making one good decision toward God, God goes, good boy, good boy. And he will all of a sudden give you raises, inheritances, supernatural opportunities, take you further, faster. He is a supernatural God, and he loves you, and he wants to help people that actually have a focused mind and a focused heart. Prioritize church. Don't think the church is just something, I don't know, it's summertime, I may go, I may not go. Trust me, the information that you got today, you would have to pay a financial investor a lot of money to try to put you on these tracks. And by the way, financial investors are watching. The leading financial investor, one of them in America, you have to have $100 million to be his client. That guy was texting me saying that that last message is one of the most profound things he ever heard. And one of the reasons that guy loves me is I told him the crash was going to happen in 2008. And everybody who had $100 million that's his client, he took them all out. The collapse happened. He put them all in. And then he made me a promise that he would pay all of my airtime due to my diligence in prayer. So now I'm praying again, predicting the next crash that we will succeed in. And we will not just survive. Come on, somebody. We will thrive. You're going to get your car back. You're going to get your house back. You're going to get your truck back. You're going to get your favor back. You're going to get your inheritance back. It's going to be like a country music song in reverse. You're going to be like, I love my life. I want you to enjoy your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You might be watching on Facebook. You could be watching online. You might be watching on television. You might say, Pastor, I was liking that today. Raise your hand if you were liking this today. It was giving you power and information, okay? You can put your hands down. God, you saw those hands of people who said, I want to invite Jesus into my financial future. I am the poor man who's crying, saying, God, help me, and I want you to drop the dishes, God, and come to my aid and rescue me. God, I ask you to put your super on the natural. Help them to start a plan, a goal. Help them provide themselves with a roadmap to get them where they need to go so they can be debt-free. God, may every person in here realize that God is the answer, that Proverbs is God's little book to them. It's a dad speaking to their life every day. And God, when the world is in trouble, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're Christ followers. We love you. And our blessings are going to be plenteous. And our marriages are going to be strong. And we're going to leave an inheritance to our children's children. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand for his word.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.